Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye watchers that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all ye deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind that fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come before You, and we do ask that You would take now this portion of Your word, and as that bread that is necessary for our food, for our sustenance, so this is even more necessary for our spiritual well-being and for our orientation, our life, our worldview, our living and interpreting of all of life. We need a theocentric and Christocentric life and worldview. And this psalm is theocentric, God-centered. And so, Lord, we pray that as we study this psalm now, as we consider it, that You would do that work within us, that we would be a praise unto You, Your people, Your beloved ones, and we would reflect that love to You. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the purpose of praise? Well, there's a number of answers to that question. The primary one is to glorify God. That's what praise is. It is rendering back unto God an acknowledgement of who He is. In our psalm today, if you notice, the primary focus is the power of God. God who created all things by the word of His power. He sustains all things. And He is also, there's a revelation there of His redemptive purpose, of His redemptive love and power in the horn of our salvation, even in the power of Jesus Christ. But how does that affect you? How does that affect me in the day to day? How do we renew an understanding of who we are and what we are about? Well, praise is also designed as a way of reorienting our minds and our hearts to the purpose of our existence. And so this particular psalm is a psalm of praise. Notice it begins with a command, praise y'all, praise the Lord. Praise ye, y'all, the Lord. And guess what it ends with? Praise the Lord. It begins and ends with praise, or a command to praise. And, as a matter of fact, the rest of the psalm is a summonsing or a calling to praise, but it's a calling where the participants are called. It's notice the title I put here, the roll call of praise. Who is to praise the Lord? And as we consider our text, one of the things that you'll notice is no one and nothing is excluded from the call to praise God. There's no one that can say, well, I don't apply here. It doesn't fit. I'm not mentioned. Because not only are persons mentioned, but inanimate objects are called to praise God. From the height to the depth, all creation is called by God to offer praise unto Him. Or another way of calling, looking at the psalm is that there is a choir that is being brought together to sing praises to God, being named and encouraged, and you and I are included. Proposition there is in the bulletin. What is it that unites heaven and earth? Is it not the praise of the sovereign creator, sustainer, redeemer, and judge? We are invited with all creation to fulfill our purpose and destiny. Will you hear and respond appropriately? Your purpose and destiny is to praise God, to be praise unto God and to praise God. That's the message of this psalm. But not just your destiny, but the destiny and purpose of all creation. In other words, creation, this world, has a purpose that God has destined it. And that is His glory. And so we'll be looking at this psalm. It breaks into two parts, verses 1 through 6 and verses 7 through 14. It has almost an antiphonal aspect to it. Heaven praises, or it's called to praise God, and then earth responds. Heaven and earth is the theme here throughout the psalm. So we're coming to the end of our study in the book of Psalms. We're coming to a group of praises. We're coming to the crescendo of praise and of worship in the book. And so let us consider our text. Consider verse 1 as we hear the call to the heavenly choir. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all ye His angels or His messengers. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Notice that the psalmist begins with praise in the appropriate starting place. Where does praise begin? Praise begins in heaven. Praise is already occurring in heaven. From the greatest heights that there are, praise resounds. God created beings, angels, His messengers, and they're not a few in number. They're an army. They're a host. These are rational beings that have as their purpose and calling to reflect the glory of God. To praise and give verbal acknowledgement of who God is. Joining with them, according to Hebrews chapter 12, are the saints, the believers in Jesus Christ, those that have gone on before us. We call them the church triumphant. What are they doing in heaven right now? They are praising God. They are offering unto God praise that even the angels cannot sing. The angels cannot sing of the redemption of Christ, for they never fell. The angels must be silent when the church opens its mouth and sings the praises of redemption. And so heaven is called to praise God. Do you think they respond appropriately? The answer is yes. There is worship going on in heaven. And as a matter of fact, according to Hebrews 12, it is we who go to them in the Spirit on this, the Lord's day, when we are gathered in the name of Jesus to join with them in their praise. But notice the psalmist moves from this heavenly heights and begins to lower his gaze as he calls creation to praise. And then begins to say, praise ye all sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light. Praise ye heaven of heavens and the waters there above the heavens. His gaze now lowers to those representatives, those light bearers, the sun and the moon and the stars that God created and placed into the heavens to rule over the day and the night. Throughout Scripture, we understand that these celestial bodies are pictures, symbols pointing to the redeemed of the Lord, those in authority, and those whom God has chosen. What is the glory of the moon? Does the moon send forth its own light? No, the glory of the moon is reflected light from the sun, right? What about the sun? Is the sun have its own light, or is it because of what God has done? Ultimately, the sun's glory is a reflected glory, a created glory from God. Both the sun and the moon reflect the glory of God, pointing to God as creator. But the stars also, have you ever thought about what's a star like without light? It's a black hole. It is the light of the stars that we see that brings glory unto God in their calling. The psalmist's eyes moves down to the heaven of heavens, to the atmosphere above, the water that is suspending above the earth, that space or an atmosphere. The environment, if you will, of the sun, moon, and stars. But what is strange is the psalmist commands the sky to praise him and waters above the heavens to praise him. Now, how do inanimate objects, sun, moon, and stars, water, and sky, how do they praise God? They don't have a voice. They're not rational creatures. And yet the psalmist commands them to praise God. How do they do it? What's his point? They do it by their very being and by their doings. In other words, they were created by God to fulfill a purpose. And as they fulfill their purpose, the sun to light the earth, the moon to reflect the light of the sun, as they fulfill their purpose, they are praising God. They are reflecting the glory of God. And so they continue to do that throughout their existence. Now the psalmist gives us a reason for, or gives these participants a reason for praising God. His reason is there in verses 5 and 6. He says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass." The reason the angels, the reason the heavens, the reason the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky are to praise God is because He spoke and they exist. It is because of the power of God revealed in their existence and their continuing existence. He made a decree and they will continue to exist and fulfill His calling because He spoke and it was done. And so they are to give back to God the honor that is their purpose in their existence. They exist because His word, and they exist to glorify the one who spoke them into existence. So heaven rejoices in their creator and sustainer, and now earth is also commanded to respond with comparable praise. And so now the call is to the earthly choir in verses 7 through 13. The psalmist goes on, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Here he focuses on the very lowest, the water, the oceans, and the sea-going creatures. It says dragons there, but it's basically living creatures that live in the sea, large creatures like whales and so on. These creatures are commanded to give praise unto God. And then he goes to these other elements, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Stormy winds or gale force winds that fulfill his word. And so again, we see the inanimate, the non-rational, is also called to praise God. Have you ever stopped and thought that fire praises God? As a matter of fact, notice he brings fire and hail together. Now, that seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Fire and hail are adversaries. Water and fire are adversaries, are contrary to one another. But yet we are told in the book of Exodus that God brought in the plagues of Egypt fire and hail together as one of the plagues. The judgment of God had these two naturally contradictory elements together fulfilling his will. And then he goes on to speak of snow, the result of hail, the cold water vapors. And vapors are actually literally smoke from a fire. The fruit of these two elements are also called to show forth God's glory. And the stormy wind that fulfills his word. God ordains when a hurricane occurs. We have right now in our world this great desire to try to control weather. We call it climate change. It used to be called global warming. Before that, it was called global cooling. But all of those titles all assume that we are responsible to control the weather. That somehow we are responsible for the weather that we are experiencing. We are the ultimate controllers. But yet, the scriptures say, no, it is God who controls the weather. It is God who brings the storm that destroys. It is God who brings the earthquake that destroys. Fire and hail and smoke and vapors, these are the servants of God. We must remember. These reveal the power of God. And in doing so, render praise unto him. The psalmist goes on from active elements in the earth to seemingly inactive elements, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. So his focus now is now upon the land, upon the trees, upon the hills and mountains. That these also give glory to God, praise God in their being and in their doing. Moving from there, we find the call that goes out to wild animals and to all domesticated animals, to creeping things and to the flying fowls. In other words, all creatures, great and small. And so the hymnist writes, all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Where do you think he got that, Francis of Assisi? Probably from this song. God calls all creatures, inanimate and animate, rational and irrational, to praise. But he doesn't stop there, does he? No. No, in verse 11, he goes to man, the crown of creation, and he begins with the kings of the earth. and all people, princes and judges, those in the greatest authority in the earth, are called to praise God. Now, why? Because they represent God. They are servants of God who will give an account unto God, and they're functioning as rulers and judges and authority are under God and must be to God's glory. From there, he moves to young men and young women, old men and children. Here he brings in the rest, whether it be in what you do or who you are one of those categories. All mankind is called to praise the Lord, even babies. And again, we are given a reason for this call. Verse 13, let them praise the name or the person and work, the revelation of the Lord and who He is and what He's doing, for His name alone is excellent. The reason why you praise God is because of God, because of who He is and what He does and what He does for you. But yet, we understand we are to praise God for who He is. His name is excellent. And it is deserving of our praise. His glory is over the earth and the heavens. And thirdly, He has done something. He has exalted the horn or the strength of His people. He has brought salvation to His people. He is the praise of all His saints, but literally in the Hebrew, His beloved ones, the children of Israel. He has exalted the horn of His people. He has brought them to Himself. They are a people near unto Him. Now, in the Old Testament thinking, in the Old Testament, the focus was separation, being far from God. What happened to Adam and Eve when they fell? Did they continue to stay near to God, or were they separated from the visible presence of God? They were separated. When God delighted to dwell with Israel, His people, after He redeemed them out of Egypt, did He dwell in every tent in Israel? No. Well, He's everywhere present, but in particular, in symbolic form, where did He dwell? He dwelt in a separate tent. Could anybody go into that tent at any time? No. There was a Holy of Holies. Could the priests go into the Holy of Holies at any time? No. Only the high priest, only once a year, only with blood. In other words, there was separation throughout the Old Testament. And so for the psalmist here in the Old Testament to say that God is the one who has brought us near unto Him is a radical statement. He is, in a sense, saying there is a wall of separation that has been removed. There is something about the redeemed that no other people have, that access to God. And so that is the reason, one of the reasons why we are called to praise the Lord. It's because in many ways what He's doing is saying it is a restoration of Eden. Milton, in his poem, Paradise Lost, in Book 5, Milton takes up this particular psalm and uses it as a hymn of Adam in the morning. In other words, that Adam is calling all creation to worship God. Milton understood what Psalm 148 is doing for us now and into the future and applies it back in the past. Stop and think about what the garden was like before the fall. Before there was a fall, the stars, the sun, the moon, the trees, the hills, did they praise God without any hindrance? Was there anything that stopped the glory of God? The answer is no. And so we look forward to both the application of this in our lives, but more importantly, the application of this in the future. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be you have suffered with Him, that you may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him that subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, we which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." And so Paul speaks of a day when this language is not future, but present, in fullness, restoration, where all of creation, heaven and earth, rejoice, and without any hindrance, without any sin, without any corruption, will sing forth the praises of our God, the God who creates, the God who sustains, and the God who redeems, through Jesus Christ. So what is the take-home point? What is the application of this psalm? What's the psalm say? What's the command? Hallelujah. Praise. That's a command. Praise the Lord. It is appropriate response. It is the right response for one who is created. It is the right response to the one who is sustained by the grace, the common grace of God. It is the right and appropriate response to the one who understands and has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. It is your purpose. It is your destiny. But there's something special about this. Creation praises God irrationally. The interesting thing is, God calls us rational creatures to respond. And that praise, I think, is greater than the praise of the heavens. One writer says, wrote it this way, "Praise is the believer's dignity and power." I like that statement. Praise is your dignity and your power. You ever stop and think about that? How often is your dignity evidenced in your life? How often in the day do you stop rationally and take for a moment and stop and give back to God praise? That is your dignity. There is something special about that. It enables us to reorient ourselves as to why we're doing what we're doing. Many times, we're all busy. We're Americans. Americans are busy people. We always have so many things to do. We have more on our plate than we can fulfill. How often that we lose sight of why we are doing what we're doing. Praise is designed to bring that dignity back. No matter what the job is, God is glorified in it with the right orientation. It was interesting while I was in the Philippines, there was one of the one of the elders decided he wanted to move to Canada. And so he's a social worker in the Philippines. He moved to near Vancouver. And the only job he could find was dealing with recycled trash. He's working in basically the dumps in Vancouver, spending 8 hours a day separating trash. In the cold, this is a Filipino who's used to hot weather, in the cold, and he said the smell was unforgettable. Well, now he's back in the Philippines. He had enough of that after 5 months of working in the trash, and he went back to his old job as a social worker. But even though he was not enjoying what he was doing, he was still glorifying God in the trash. He was still praising God in the work that God had called him to do. Praise is the believer's dignity and power. Praise overcomes. The natural man grumbles and complains. Praise is the opposite of that. If you find yourself grumbling and complaining in your tents like Israel, the best solution to that is turning your eyes towards heaven and to begin to think and to verbalize concerning the power and glory and grace of God. It is our power and it is our dignity. And so this psalm calls us to leave the mundane, to enter and to join with heaven. And one other thing, notice the psalm begins in the heights of heaven and it works its way down, but does it stay at the bottom? No, it ends in the top again. Praise is flowing from all of those elements and the focus is the glory of God. May we apply this passage to the praise of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this command, this call to praise, that there is not a single atom in creation that is not called to fulfill your purposes. And in doing so, render praise and honor unto you, that you are revealed and glorified. And yet, Lord, you've also called us as rational creatures to turn our wills and to turn our minds and to turn our hearts and to turn our lips and to turn our lives unto praise of you, that men may see our good works and glorify you who art in heaven. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would enable us to overcome the sin in our members that would desire to be self-focused, self-oriented, and grant unto us the ability in those times to remember, oh, the psalm is a psalm calling me to not be focused on myself, but on you and your glory. And so, Lord, we pray that you would reorient us and that you would do so through the lips that sing forth your praises that flow from a heart of thankfulness for what you've done for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you do that work within us, that we would be a grateful people and that praise would be the evidence thereof. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.